Good evening. We're going to be in the book of Ruth, if you'd open your Bible there. A few weeks ago, we started the book of Ruth and went through the first chapter, but I knew we'd be off of it a couple of weeks before we got back to it. We're probably not as familiar with the book, but the book is a book of faithfulness. If there's one thing you're going to see as we read through and go through some of the things, that you're going to see the value of a proper attitude toward the Lord and how the Lord takes care of people when they seek Him for their refuge. No matter how bad things look, no matter how bad things get. One of the things that we find in the book is that it was said at a time of great spiritual decay among the people of God. Just for your information, when you read these Old Testament things, and here we're talking about the nation of Israel, this is before they divided, you're talking about what it would be like in the church. I mean, the Old Testament Israel would be a reflection or a shadow of what the church would be today. So when you're talking about these things, you're seeing the spiritual decline among God's people. It'd be like the same spiritual decline you would see in the church. And when there was spiritual decay, one of the things God always said is that, I'll bring famine upon you. Keep in mind, Israel was a self-contained nation that lived among many other nations around. But God was their God. And He always promised, if you'll hold to me, I'll take care of you. Well, they didn't. Everything is in decline. God sent a famine on the land. It's amazing that Moab, which is southeast of Judah, Moab is an ungodly nation. They have idols that they worship. They have their own god set up to what they want their god to be. When Israel was wandering across the desert before they got to the promised land, they came upon Moab. And the king of Moab wanted these people cursed. They were in need of food and water. And the Moabites refused them. And they tried to bring a prophet of God over to curse them. And God said, don't you dare curse these people. These are my people. Well, ever since then, because Moab resisted, Moab wanted them destroyed. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, God told Israel, this nation, that for the Moabites, you never seek their peace or their prosperity because they refuse to help in time of need. Don't you go seeking their prosperity. And so, all of a sudden, there's a famine now in Judah, in Israel. I want you to go back with me. Look at chapter 1 real quick, just to kind of fill you in. And the first five verses will tell us what happens. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Benjamin in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpha, the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion both died. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Don't you seek their peace and their prosperity. Let's just forget the Word of God. We have famine in our land. We've got to eat and be taken care of. Let's go seek the prosperity of the Moabites. God said, don't you do that. Elimelech, the husbands are the head. The husbands directed. And he takes his family to Moab. forget God's word. Forget what God wants. You know what it cost? It cost Elimelech his life. Instead of them getting up when Elimelech the father dies, Mahlon and Chilion, they marry Moabite women. 10 years and they die. In a period of time, you've lost all the male offspring of the family. You see, it never pays to disregard the Word of God. Well, Naomi hears, after 10 years, that God has taken away the famine over here in Judah and decides to go back home. She makes the right move. But when she gets back, look down at verse 19 of chapter 1. So they both went out until they came to Bethlehem. Now, Orpha stayed in Moab and with the gods of Moab. Ruth went with Naomi. And now they come back to Judah, Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now I want you to notice the attitudes. She's bitter. Why would you be bitter when God had said, "This is what I want from you all along"? See, her attitude still is not the best here. Now, she has had a great influence over Ruth. And so now she's lost everything and they're back. But here's another amazing part. I want you to notice Ruth, the outsider, the ungodly woman. Look real quick at Ruth's attitude. Look at verse 16 of chapter 1. Here's what she says to Naomi. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. I am leaving my beliefs, and I am leaving my God, and I'm going to the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel, the true and living God." It's amazing that Ruth, here she is, an idol worshiper, a false god worshiper, and now her heart is set. Naomi's had a great impact on her about a lot of things. And so she's back there. Well, when we get to chapter 2, we're at the barley season. And I want you to notice as we go through, there's a lot of little lessons to pick up on. We're going to do more of the reading of it. Look at the attitudes that are involved. Look at the attitudes toward the Lord. Look at the attitudes toward one another. Look at the wanting God as your God attitude. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Elimelech, he's the one that died in Moab. He was the husband of Naomi. Has a kinsman, Boaz, very wealthy. But it's amazing to me, if you look at Ruth, And I don't know if you pick this up, if you'll pick it up as we go through the rest of the book. He continues to call her Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth of Moab. An outsider. The writer keeps pointing to this outsider. Now, when we get to the end of the book of Ruth, you're going to see the purpose of this book and why it's in here. But he keeps calling her this outsider. She's a Moabitess. And what she wants to do, she wants to glean. Now, what it means to glean, gleaning was the idea of gathering in after the harvest. People would go out and they would reap their fields. But one of the laws that they had in reaping their fields, and you can go back and look at it in Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, he told them, when you reap your fields, don't you go all the way to the corners. And if you drop any food or any of the harvest, you leave it on the ground, because that's for the foreigner, that's for the poor, it's for the needy. They're called gleaners. She wants to come glean. She wants to take care of Naomi. Now, that's an amazing part about Ruth. You know, Orpha didn't have any concern too much for Ruth or for Naomi. Ruth has a concern to take care of her mother-in-law. Let me go glean. And then she wants to find favor in the sight of people. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 through 22, he tells them there that you are to leave your fields for the poor, for the widows, for the foreigners, and others that might have any need. You know what you learn about God? God cares for people's needs, not wants. You know what the people of God ought to demonstrate? You unite today in the church. The same care for people's needs of one another. He wouldn't let them go and take everything out of the field. That was the law. And so, Ruth and the widow Naomi, very poor, the only way they're going to eat is they're going to have to go glean a field, the leftovers. Verse 3. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field that belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Now it tells us here that she happened to go to the field that belonged to Boaz. Now you think this is an accident? She wants God of Almighty Heaven to be her God. She wants to take care of her mother-in-law. And the children of Israel's God would be her God. And now she's trying to find somebody to attach to. And she finds Boaz. And here's Boaz. He blesses all of his reapers. Now, you don't see that too much when you have a boss, if you want to put it that way. You don't see a boss come walking up to too many people, you know, "May the Lord bless you." And the reapers return back, you know, "May the Lord bless you." You know what you learn real quick? Colossians 4:1, he talks about masters. You grant justice and fairness to those that serve you, because you too have a master in heaven. You see Boaz's attitude. He's got a great attitude toward those who work for him. He's not an overbearing man. You see the kind of nature that he has just in these few words. And here's Ruth. She's there working. Look on down, verse 5. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, 'Please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She's been sitting in the house for a little while." I mean, the servant knows Ruth. The servant knows Naomi. And the servant knows a lot about Ruth. Coming from Moab. He calls her again. "Oh, she's from the land of Moab." You don't think Boaz knows about the Moabites? But what's different? Ruth has left the culture and the gods of Moab to make God her God. And he's wondering about this woman. She's a hard worker. She's not lazy. And Boaz has taken notice. Verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Interesting. Gleaners, the ones that get the leftovers, were never allowed with the reapers. The reapers all did their work first and went through. And then what's left over? The poor, the widows, the strangers, they were allowed to go in afterwards. But you notice what Boaz said? "I don't want you to leave my field. I want you to stay." Do you notice what Boaz told his servants? "Don't you bother her. You let her drink. And you let her drink from what you drink from." Boaz is an extremely compassionate man. And we see that. And he's allowing her, an outsider, to be part of the reapers. Let's continue on. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" What does Ruth know she is? "I am an outsider. I'm a foreigner." Ruth knows how the Israelites treat the Moabites and how the Moabites treat the Israelites. And she wants to know, "What made you take recognition of me?" You know, it's kind of like the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met. You remember her? She asked Jesus, "Why do you ask me for a drink of water? You know Jews and Samaritans have no dealings." We see the attitude of Ruth as she fell on her face. She's bowing down before Boaz, and there's this humility about her. Now, whenever you're looking to the Lord, whenever you're listening to the teachings of the Lord, and you fall on your face, you think the Lord takes notice of your attitude? She's not demanding anything. She is overcome with a sense of awe that, "Boaz, why would you treat me like this?" Verse 11. Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know." Verse 12. "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Boaz recognizes one thing. God is the supplier. And may God supply your needs. Sometimes we don't learn that. Even though we talk about God being the supplier of our needs and God being the supplier of taking care of us, but yet when things get really tight, we don't believe God can come through. Boaz knows it. Ruth knows it. And Boaz has recognized, "You've left your people. You've come to the God of Israel. You've come to the real God. And you've taken refuge right here." She's moved from not the people of God to being one of the people of God. She's a proselyte. She's been grafted in. You know what I thought of when I read this, just myself? I thought of a lot of times in the church that sometimes we've known people out here in our society, maybe in the community, that are really bad. And they come to Jesus. They may have had a bad reputation. They were involved in bad dealings. And they're baptized into Christ. And there's still people in the church that have problems with them. They don't want them to really be a part. Boaz, understanding she sought refuge in God, the God of Israel, he's open-armed accepted her, being a Moabite woman. And we'll take care of you because your attitude. Verse 13. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. I want you to notice verse 13. Here's the turning point. Notice what Ruth now calls herself. I'm not a Moabitess and a foreigner. I am one of your maidservants, even though I'm not like your maidservants. Boaz has accepted her. She has accepted them. She's embraced. He's embraced. I'm not a Moabite anymore. I'm one of you. Isn't that what we should have in Christ Jesus? Isn't that the unity? Verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in a vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. And he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. She's sharing with the best. From an outsider and a foreigner, she's sharing with them. It's a beautiful thing to see. Here was this foreigner, this ungodly woman that served these gods of who know what, of Moab. And now she's come under refuge of the God of heaven and earth. And look at what she's doing. She's finding herself eating with them, eating with the reapers, eating with the maidservants. She's sitting and having the best. Verse 15. When she arose to glean, notice what happens after she gets through eating. She goes back to work. You know, she doesn't take advantage of Boaz's goodness. I want to throw that on the side. A lot of times when people, you know, when they work for brethren, I've noticed sometimes brethren get lazy when they work for a brother or sister in Christ because they think that they're in favor. Ruth, she rose to glean. She got back to work because of the kindness and favor. Verse 15, when she arose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Boaz is watching out, because he knows, they know she's a Moabite. They could mistreat her. And Boaz intentionally takes from the best of his, you make sure you leave it for her. Because you see, she is taking care of Naomi, the widow. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out of what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took out of it and gave Naomi what she had left, and she was satisfied. Gleaned out about an ephah, a little more than a bushel, an ephah. An ephah of barley, from what I could discover in it, two people could live for about 5 days cooking with barley. And so she had enough for about 5 days of meals from what she had gleaned. Continue on. Verse 19. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withheld his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Now I want you to pay real quick attention one thing. You remember when Naomi comes back, remember that she's upset, she's bitter, things didn't turn out well, I come back and don't you call me Naomi anymore? What's her attitude now? In the worst time, the Lord has taken care of Naomi too. That's the way God operates. God is blessing Naomi through the outsider Ruth. And here's Ruth bringing her the things, and now it leads to Naomi. She's got a completely different attitude now. Blessed be the name of Boaz. May he be blessed forever. That the Lord has been good to us. See, there's been a major change. Verse 21. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field." Naomi is concerned too, but Naomi realizes she's safe. 23. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Well, you can see it setting up, can't you? Wonderful book. The power a mother-in-law has over her daughter-in-law, the attitudes involved, the humility involved, the looking to the Lord for meeting the needs. Let's close with this. Come over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll close here. Humility, listening to the Lord, a heart for the Lord brings great blessings. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 5. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." There are blessings of being humble, listening. Verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Does God care for his people? You and I get anxious sometimes about life. What if we would learn to cast our anxieties on him? You know how you can cast your anxieties on the Lord? Because you humble yourself under his mighty hand. Ruth's humbled herself in the refuge of God. And God took notice, and God took care of her. If you and I would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he said he will exalt you at the proper time. God will lift you up when you need it. Here's Naomi. She didn't humble herself too much back there. She was very bitter about what happened to her family. But there's no reason to be bitter. God told you if you'd listen and you didn't go over to the land, it wouldn't end up this way. Now, when you humble yourself in the mighty hand of God at the right time, you get lifted up and exalted. You may have some anxieties, some fears come on, but you have to know God cares. And if you learn to be humble, if you learn to humble yourself before the elders, if you learn not to be a know-it-all, learn to clothe yourself with some humility and listen. God will exalt you at the time you need it the most. That's a promise. So I pray it encourages you. We'll take chapter 3 next week and we'll see where this thing is headed. But let's be an humble people. Let's be a people that casts our anxieties on the Lord. Let Him be the Lord. Let Him help.